ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake BJ Shea is on assignment, and running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hey.
Hi. On today's show, I will talk with Gareth Von Kallenbach about a whole bunch of video game news. We will also go up into space and get Vicky's opinion about the last season of Lost in Space. And we'll get Joe's opinion about the ending of the last season of Star Trek Discovery and what's happening with the new season of Picard. And, of course, we'll get the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yes, so many ways to get a hold of us. And please send us any information that you have out there, some of the stuff that you've been watching. We can't watch everything, so we would love to get some reviews from the Geek Nationals about the movies, the TV shows, comic books, all sorts of different things that are out there that you've been loving. We will need to talk about video games, and I know that... We've been talking about how much video games we play, but Joe and I've just basically been playing Elden Ring. Lots and lots of that, smashing our faces into the bosses, or sometimes just the stupid rats.
I have died many, many times.
All the time. So many deaths. But we have more video game news from our good friend, Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed In Review, that is SKNR.net. And Gareth, man, there's some video game news that dropped, including a Ghostbusters game where actually the premise seems pretty amazing.
Absolutely. Now, we heard about this a week ago. We had a meeting, a pre-game developer conference online. And then, of course, we got the very strict, you can't talk about it until next week. And what we were shown was quite interesting. This is from Illphonic, and they're the team that most recently had done the Predator Hunting Grounds game. And this is really intriguing in that it is going to be on Steam and Epic, as well as the consoles, and it will have full cross-play at launch, which is a really big deal.
That is a really huge deal, what that comes down to it. And I love the fact that they've already taken another property with the Predator, and they're kind of applying the same thing to it, right?
Correct. It's kind of an enhancement, because that was one of the questions I asked, is this is built on the technology of Hunting Grounds? They said there were aspects of it in it. One of the things is that it is a four-player co-op, but you also have the option to play solo with AIs. There's a campaign and an online mode. So in the alpha gameplay, we have some of it up online now. You have characters like Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson return playing as NPC characters. It is set after the events of Ghostbusters Afterlife, so you're a new team, and like one of the things they showed us looked hysterical. There's a museum, so you're going around with your proton packs and your traps and your, you know, the scanners, and you're trying to find the ghost, and of course you try to trap the ghost. The great thing about it is you can also play as the ghost, and your object is to avoid them. You can like possess things like a sign to hide, and it showed like the sign or a mop bucket slowly moving away. And they said, now one of the things is the smaller the object you possess, the weaker your hit points are potentially. And your object is to try to, you can't like kill the Ghostbusters, but you can slime them, but you can panic people in the local and do that. And one of the great things they showed us was after the end of the mission, there was a damage total, and like one guy had $46,000 in damages from shooting up the museum. And they said this will all play into it, because if you basically rack up a huge damage bill saving the day, then that's going to affect your progression. And I'm like, so basically, four of us can run around like idiots in a museum with proton packs, just destroying every exhibit on the planet. And they're like, pretty much. And I'm like, I'm in.
That seems so fantastic. And also, I mean, really kind of vibes in with even so much as going from Ghostbusters 1 to 2. Because, I mean, even with the whole like courtroom scene at the beginning of the first movie, they're like, yeah, but you destroyed all this stuff. Like, causing all of that damage is not something that is taken lightly in this universe.
No, and see, that's the great thing. And then remember, add to the fact it's a museum, some of these things might be near priceless.
Yeah, right.
There you have it.
Another game that you sent to me, I got to know about this because it sounds amazing. It's called This Means Warp. What the hell is going on with this one, dude?
Okay, so This Means Warp is a top-down game, and it takes a little bit of explanation, so I'll try to make it as simple as I can. Full top-down view of a spaceship, and some idiot breaks down the back wall and flushes the captain on the space. You're the last guy left. And so what happens is you have a map, and it's very, very easy to navigate. Each little quadrant, there's a potential to have to deal with a meteor shower, have to deal with infestation, but usually you're going to have to go up against these pirates and such. So what happens is when you go up against an enemy, and what you have to do is there's two guns on it. You have to pick up a shell, load up the gun, aim and fire, and go get a shell, that sort of thing. If the ship takes damage, there are damage repair stations where you could have to get like a fire extinguisher or a repair kit, because if you're breached, you can start losing oxygen, and if you really get goofed up, you get shot out into space. Not a pretty thing. And it's just a lot of fun because it's chaotic action. And then, of course, you'll have the option to upgrade. I mean, there's a scene, there were segments where you could put on a spacesuit, climb out and try to, you know, upgrade your ship that way, pick up, you know, rewards and stuff for completing missions. So it was a lot of fun. It's pretty cool.
What platform is that available on?
It's available right now on PC.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. Also, you had some interesting news about Call of Duty coming out there, including Snoop Dogg is doing something with them, right?
Correct. Now, so what we have right now is Call of Duty has got the mid-season 2 update coming out, and that's available now. And it has a new game mode called Arms Race. And the simple version of this is this new mode is only going to be available for a limited time, but it's set in the Alps. So imagine like 5 bases. And you start off by parachuting in, and you know, when you get on the base, you capture it. And the more people you have, the faster you capture it. Now, there's weapons that earn money as the game goes along, and you get things like a motorcycle, a jeep, a tank. You can upgrade weapons, call in kill streaks. But essentially, your objective is to not only take out the other guys, but to get to their be occupying the base. You can try to shoot down the walls and get in or destroy it and that, you know, so on and so forth. The ultimate goal is there's this special bomb that comes out in a crate, and you want to get that and take it back to your base, because if you do that, then you could launch, take out one of their bases. So the objective is to basically, you know, capture as many bases as you can and or take out as many of the bad guys as you can. Also try to blast their bases into smithereens. And I can tell you, I was having so much fun with it. That's there. And of course, you mentioned Snoop Dogg. And in April, there's going to be an update coming where not only for Call of Duty Mobile, but for Vanguard and I believe Warzone as well, where Snoop will be a paid cosmetic that you can you know, pay for and add into the game.
That's pretty fun. I mean, just having that sort of thing, it takes a little bit from like Fortnite, but I mean, that's not an issue whatsoever. I mean, it's fun to have some sort of fun, customizable thing to go along with the game.
Correct. And, you know, like you said, anything new that moves the thing along is always good. And it's a nice placeholder because right around that time is when we're probably going to start hearing about season 3 map, that sort of thing.
Right on, right on. And then finally, there are some games that have released this week. Let's do a quick rundown of those ones.
We have Bethesda's newest entry, Ghostwire Tokyo, and this one has been talked about for a while, and everyone's very eager to you know, get this mix of supernatural and adventure. One of the things I always tell people is if you had an idea with The Evil Within, The Evil Within 2, you can see they do horror very, very well, and some of the early reviews on it have been very strong, so hoping that to get in there and get playing soon. The other one you know about, we've talked game in the Borderlands series that's got a Dungeons and Dragons-esque tone to it. You know, I personally loved Borderlands, but I've had a lot of people say this is actually better, and they said, you know, if you're rating the Borderlands games, they consider Borderlands 2 to be the pinnacle. This one would be a close second. So a lot of stuff going on there, and of course, they're really pushing this. They're going to, you know, have a boot PAX East coming up and that sort of thing. And, you know, chaotic fun with Tiny Tina, who can ask for anything more.
Exactly. I love it. Really excited for all this stuff. Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, that's Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. You get information about all those different video games, convention scenes, and so much more. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thanks, Gareth. And again, that last one he was talking about was Tiny Tina's Adventure. So check that out as well.
Tiny Tina.
Teeny Tiny Tina. So definitely let us know how you feel about that. It drops, and we want to hear people's reviews about that. Now, going into space, sometimes you might get yourself a little lost. BJ gave his review of the three seasons and the final season of Lost in Space. And Vicky, you got into it with your father, right?
Yes. So I watch every single season with my dad, and that is our show. Like, we do not cheat on each other. We watch it together.
It's adorable.
Hence why it took us so long to finally finish it, because anytime we would sit down to watch it, my little brother immediately sits down next to me. He's like, I want to watch Baby Tots, which is Tots on Disney Plus.
Like, oh boy.
I'm like, bro, can I watch this? And it's funny, because once we actually do, no, we're not going to watch that. And I put on anything with spaceships. He's like, whoa.
So, I mean, because I remember you even sending me a video of him watching this show.
But once people start talking, he hates it.
Oh, fair enough.
He just wants to watch spaceships.
I get that.
He'll sit there and watch train and car, ambulance videos all day, which is annoying as hell. So
if we can
have a director's cut, baby brother director's cut, where it's just spaceships flying everywhere, I'd be very much appreciative of that. Thank you.
So you did get the finally finished the third season, though.
Had to wait for him to fall asleep, but yes, finally got there.
So how do you feel about it?
I was a little... Okay, so I'm going to spoil a different Netflix show called the Sabrina show, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I was under the impression, BJ said, prepare to cry.
Okay.
In the Sabrina, the way it ended, spoiler alert, she dies.
Okay, yeah.
He said, prepare to cry, I was imagining, anytime, you see, the last where I had left off before watching the last two episodes, Will gets stabbed in the heart by, not Scarecrow, but another bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sar is his name, the other bad robot who really hates him and doesn't want to accept that humanity and robots could live side by side, because humanity has done some messed up stuff to robots and you have used them.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So I don't blame Sar, but, with the robot, it's it is possible to have these relations. But we left off Will getting stabbed in the heart, them trying to finally make it to where they're trying to go so he can get the medical help he needs. And they do, and he's fine and everything. They have to evacuate because all the robots know where they are now.
Oh, yeah.
And as they evacuate, everyone's leaving. They're like, no, you need to, he figures out, you need to get that big, giant, glowing egg thing, because it's not just an engine. It's a bomb.
Oh,
so he sends his sister out to go get it, but he's, still recovering from heart failure because they put a new one in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They did that in Star Trek.
Yeah, it's an artificial heart. It's a robotic heart.
Yeah, it happened to Picard.
So it looks like he was, he looks like he's going to die. I'm like, oh, okay, that's where he meant to have the
tissues.
And
so you're getting ready, yeah.
So I'm basically, the entire time, I'm waiting for him to die. I'm like, well, they already did this in Sabrina, so when's he going to die? So it kept throwing
BJ
me off.
BJ gave you some sort of anticipation for something that might not happen now at this point.
No. So, spoiler.
Yep,
he didn't die.
It's been out for a while.
It's been out for a while, so whatever. But then there's a part where they decide, okay, well, there's no way that we ourselves, because our colony cannot defend against robots because we have a defense system and there's only one person that knows how to activate it, and it's a guy who's in jail. He's like, fine, we'll make a treaty. I'll help you get out and activate the system. And so they do all these fun, different things, and they finally get it activated. But they also realize that the robots were not coming. They're already there.
Ah!
So they're already in their damn system. They're going to get in and through the ground floor, if you know what I mean. But they figure that out, and Will realizes, no, the only other way we could basically defend ourselves is to go find more robots.
Ooh, robot battle.
Yeah, basically. And they go to the planet where all the robots are, where main robot didn't really want to go. And he basically told the story of how Will saved him and how he's been a part of this family for years and everything. And the robots are like, no, we're good. We're not going to believe you. We're not going to hurt you, but we don't care.
Wow.
And so this is a point where Will is dying more and more. His heart can't take it. He can't take the stress, can't take any of it because he just had surgery. He ends up getting picked up by the robot, and the robot sacrificing himself in a matter of, if you've seen the previous seasons, they found a way to generate power. And so he was able to, with the help of lightning, create this kind of bond around Will and save his heart.
Oh.
And so he dies, quote unquote, in the process, but he becomes kind of part of Will's heart.
That's kind of like an Iron Giant sort of thing. So I can imagine why BJ, because also like BJ loved that robot.
Right. And my dad loved the show too growing up. And so that's why it was our show. I'm like, I watch sci-fi for work and this, you love this show. Let's watch it together. So I'm like, that's who dies. But it's kind of cool because at the very, when the robots see that this was his sacrifice, he genuinely cared for this human. He gave them kind of a command. Like, the robots gave them a command they could use, and that's what ended up saving them. So I thought that was kind of cheesy, but I appreciated the fact that it was unexpected, because I honestly thought we were going to get another robot fight.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, okay.
Well, everybody on this colony, like, his sister, he's got two sisters. He's got Penny, and he's got, I'm blanking on her name right now. I keep wanting to say Julia, but that's not right.
Damn it, Julia.
But Penny, who's always kind of like the dummy, like the dumb sister, quote unquote, because she's not a doctor like her sister. She does things her way and she's more stubborn. She figures out, you know what? Let me save this robot. Because this, like, there's, like, they see many robots in pain and hurting after this explosion. So she's like, feels a connection to this robot. And in the moment she saves this robot, the robot basically transforms into the non-scary version of the robot.
No.
So they're like, no, we can connect with these robots. Like, it's not just a Will thing. It's, we can do this. So all of the teenagers that were trying to get out of the, get out of town, basically escape, who are stuck in this middle of this battle, were able to connect with these robots. And she called her Sally to separate her from robot. And they ended up having them, they fought for them, which pissed off Sari even more.
Well, and actually, you're pretty close too, by the way, because it's Judy.
Judy, thank you.
Not Julie. So, I mean, very close.
Yes, I knew something along there. It's like Penny and Judy. The very end, it happens that when Will comes back, heart save, no robot. He's like, we got these commands. Everyone play it off your little wrist walkie-talkie thing. And this is what basically neutralizes Sar. But in that moment, he's like, no, there's no way. He's never going to give up because he has almost human-like feelings. Like, he's so angry at not necessarily humans themselves, but just any quote-unquote master, anybody who threatens
them. He's not going to be able to see past that.
No, so Will stops and lets him go, and that's when he goes for the heart again, stabs him, but because the robot was in there, it was some kind of like USB transfer, and robot transfers over into his body.
Oh, that's funny.
Right.
That's actually pretty brilliant a way to do that.
So I give them points that I was not expecting the command thing, be like their the little noise to what is what basically renders him from actually being able to fight. So I'm like, I wasn't expecting it. This is different. I'll give you points. But it seemed a little cheesy at the time. Like, really?
The USP port is only unbelievable when the fact that if you can get in there on the first try. Because anyone who tries to do that with USB ports, it's impossible.
To be fair, he had a big space, you know, the heart area. So you just had to, like, click on the heart.
Just click it there.
But it was kind of cool because at the very end, they're like, robots could decide to stay here or they could leave. They are now free. They don't have to listen to a master. They don't have to listen. They're not governed by their own.
Right on.
Every individual person or robot can do whatever they want. And they left. She's like, Sally, like, at the very end, Penny's the one that writes the story of Lost in Space.
Oh, okay, cool.
And she has throughout the series, like, she's written it, and she's like, is this how my book's going to end? Oh, my God, when she thought she was going to die. So she very much, I think, stole the show a lot this last season. And I really like her as an actress, and I hope to see her more.
Right on.
Overall, I think it's a binge-worthy show.
Okay, cool.
I kind of hated that I had to wait so long. but also, it's funny to see how much the actor who played Will grew, because he was this cute little boy, and now he's a man. It's a little weird. That's honestly, I think, the reason why they canceled it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's an adult. Like, he's not that cute little boy. They had to. But I think overall, they did a good job wrapping it up, and they left it to where, like, they could do more if they ever wanted to, because Will goes on his own adventures now. He's like, you know, is it okay if I go do this with the robot? They're like, okay, be home by Christmas.
Good luck. Have fun. It's bring like back presents.
You've already saved humanity, you know. Like, I guess you can.
You need a vacation. Go ahead. Go for it.
Who are we to tell you no? Like, you know how to drive, you know, spaceship, do all these things. And that was, like, the main thing, too, with the dad. He's like, we stole the childhood away from these kids because they have been training since they were itty-bitty to be able to go on these missions. Like, Judy is a doctor, and she's like 18, 19 years old, like a full-fledged doctor.
Damn.
Like, because they had to start young. They didn't, because, you know, Earth was dying, and they all had to leave.
Jeez,
but
okay.
if you watch it from the very beginning, you learn that not everyone is accepted to go do this. If you're not good enough physically, you know, all these different tests, mentally, then you can't go. Which was a big
Which makes sense.
Which is a big plot point because everybody in the family was able to go, and then something had to get fudged so Will could be allowed to go because he failed.
And he's the one that saves everything.
Right? So the mom did a good job. But overall, it's good. It was, like I said, a little cheesy for me, but they redeemed themselves.
Nice. Now, Joe.
Hey.
Now, we were trying to wait a little bit to see you could get a compare and contrast with BJ on these things, but we'll get to that at some point because he's already talked about Star Trek Discovery, which ended, but also we want to talk about Picard as well because the first couple of episodes have dropped on that. So let's start off with you. How did you feel about the ending or the season finale of Discovery?
Ah, Star Trek. Discovery, where the enemy will always be something random that we can make peace with.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, we've got to be able to do diplomatic relations with them, right?
Yes, of course. We did Klingons in season one. We're done with fighting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This season was okay. I thought the ending was actually pretty good. The DMA, which was this big black hole-ish device that had been killing random planets, essentially feeding on the atmosphere of space, if you will, which doesn't exist, but it's apparently there's some molecules or particles that they collect to fuel what turns out to be their giant shield. It's this alien race that's highly advanced, but for whatever reason doesn't know that they're impacting the galaxy or the different universes.
Well, of course not.
So they go through a whole rigmarole. Michael Burnham, you know, makes some up excuses on why she and the rest of the crew are the only ones that can save the planet, and then nothing goes right, but somehow there's a million answers. You know, the typical Star Trek thing that I've gotten used to. But, you know, the explanation was pretty cool. They have a fun way of talking to the other alien race who has to devolve their language to communicate with humans because they're highly advanced.
Makes sense.
Kind of do that. I think it was that alien movie with Amy Adams, or maybe it was the character from The Office. You know, where they have to talk to aliens through essentially pictographs.
Yeah,
except
yeah.
they use
Arrival.
Arrival, thank you.
Oh, that movie leaves you effed up for a few days.
Similar idea, except they use emotions instead of pictures, and then they use blinking lights as forms of math to communicate, which was cool. It was a good idea. I really like that the writers have these cool ways of doing things in terms of first contact and stuff, but getting to that point is just a struggle because the characters just seemingly do whatever they want, and then the next scene will tell you, well, no, I'm doing it because of protocol. And it's like, no, you're not. In fact, the leader of the human race just said that you shouldn't be taking any risks.
That is not protocol at all.
And then you jumped blindly into this, you know, force field in which you were not prepared for.
That's a risk. Yeah, that's definitely a risk.
Your science officer tells you he has no idea how he's going to save the ship, but then miraculously they make it through
anyways.
But
he does it, yeah. I mean, come on, yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of Star Trek-y in that sense. But Booker, who was Michael Burnham's love affair in the show, has been the bad guy, if you will, of the series. And by bad guy, I mean he's the other side of the political argument of we should bomb them first and not care.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is totally against the Prime Directive.
Yeah, and he's never been a part of, you know, Starfleet. Starfleet doesn't really even exist right now.
I remember you bringing that being brought up.
They're rebuilding it, and it's, but the, you know, it's loose morals at this point because everyone who's a part of it's kind of like, well, you know, this didn't work out for us before. Why are we doing it now?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's along for the ride, but so that's been the whole season. Eventually they get to the end, and he redeems himself by, you know, apparently diverting something at the end of the show that stops the DMA from being destroyed completely. They make peace with the alien race, and everyone's all happy,
Hooray!
Happy. And, you know, and it's just packed full of social commentary.
Yeah.
And I just turn it off. Like, I just turn my mind off because it's a lot. I mean, it's not even subtle.
So much like Vicky's little brother. You're there for the spaceships.
Exactly. I'm like, whatever. You know, I've learned to do that. But just, you know what? They're going to do a lot of social commentary and everyone's going to have their moment. So just turn it off and then come back 5 minutes later and you won't have missed anything.
There you go.
Unless that's what you like, right?
Yeah.
Which I understand. I mean, but this one was pretty funny because there was definitely a betrayal. And then they're like, but don't worry, I may have betrayed you, but I'm still willing to serve the Federation. And then there's a scene where they're on the bridge and they're like, who should we send to pilot the shuttlecraft on the suicide mission? Because it has to be a really good pilot.
Betrayal, bro.
Well, no. So, of course, the pilot of the ship stands up and goes, it's me. I get it. I'm the best pilot around. And then the betrayal chick steps forward and she goes, you might not know this about me, but I was the best pilot in my class. I'll do it. And I'm like, what a convenient source of, you know, knowledge to pop up.
Here, we will just redeem you.
So glad that after betraying everyone that they trust you now and you also have piloting experience. And also, we can't even kill her off because that would be weird. So we'll just beam her back somehow magically. I was just like one of those things where I'm like, why do we need this? Why could she just not have been a good person?
That's funny.
It was hilarious, but actually not a bad season. I did enjoy it. Obviously, the sets, again, and the CGI are always incredible. CBS does pump a bunch of money into the show and mm-hmm. shows, and the acting's great, you know. So I enjoyed it better than the last season.
Fair enough. And then also just a quick first impressions on how you feel about Picard.
Oh, Picard. Mm-hmm. Picard has done the two things I hate the most in a TV show, which is switch realities in the first episode, then time travel in the second one.
Did he come back from the reality before he time traveled?
No, he did not.
What the?
Yeah, well, Q's back, so.
Oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense in terms of, like, Picard's whole journey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I mentioned with, like, heart-stabby stuff, like, yeah. there's like, some of the most pivotal Picard stuff has been revolving around Q. So it makes sense that he's back.
And I'm going to butcher his last name, but John DeLancey?
I think so.
Is that right? Dude, I mean, you wouldn't even know he skipped a beat from, like, this is, like, almost 30 years ago, mm-hmm. plus, I think, from Generation. Dude, he kills it. He's so good as Q.
Nice.
And I wish there was more of it, because you can kind of tell they're trying to lean away from it a little bit, because you can't really tell a story where, you know, God comes in and just does things. You know?
Especially not, like, a whole overarching thing, yeah.
Yeah, but, man, the scenes he in, he just steals the show. It opens with a boring thing of Picard back on his winery or vineyard for, you know, 30 minutes of the first episode. Where we're like, guys, you did this all season ago. We get it. Picard likes wine, and apparently his vineyard's awesome.
All right, fair enough, man.
I will go visit Patrick Stewart on his vineyard if we can ever do that. But then they get into it. Essentially, the Borg are back. They tear a hole in the fabric of the universe, and they want to join the Federation, or at least they claim. They board the ship, and the next thing you know, Q warps them all back into a different reality in which he's changed one thing in the past that has led the Federation to become the Confederation.
Whoa, yeah. Interesting.
And so the only people who are aware of the old reality are the current Stargazer crew that Picard was a part of before they got warped back. So they're kind of trying to meet up with everyone and figure out what's going on. Then they show you the Borg Queen, who comes out as a half-body who's still in that reality.
Wow. Dang.
And she knows what's going on, or she knows that something is wrong with reality, because apparently some Star Trek excuse, and then boom, and that's why, right? Like, it makes a little sense, but just go with it. And so that's the whole, and then Picard realizes they have to go back in time to figure out what Q changed that made it the Confederation as opposed to the Federation, and that's where I'm at. And I gotta tell you, if you just, again, turn off that switch where you're really following what's actually happening, and you just watch it, it's entertaining.
They'll come to a logical conclusion. Well, they'll come to a conclusion at some point.
Yeah, it's literally like if you took all the Star Trek tropes and then all the sci-fi tropes and you threw them all together
just
and then
put
you
them
just
in a blender.
Did whatever you wanted. Like, you've got a captain who smokes a cigar. You've got 80-year-old Patrick Stewart who's, like, dying but doesn't know what his life was about, who's got childhood trauma from when his mom told them to look at the stars. Like, it's just
damn
crazy stuff. And then Q's back, and Q's lost his mind. He's not even like normal Q. They all recognize that he's going crazy and trying to, like, wrap up his something. You know, it's
he went QAnon is what he did.
Oh, he did something a little weird. I mean,
it's a joke, people.
Turn the Federation into a Confederation.
Yeah,
that's not
right?
What you're supposed to be doing. So, I mean, it's three episodes in, and I'm entertained, I'll tell you that much.
Well, there you go. I mean, that might be all you need.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what do you got?
Movies!
Oh, it's Friday!
Movies.
Just in case anyone forgot.
Yeah, just in case. There actually is a few decent movies coming out this weekend, and a few TV shows that I do want to bring up.
Wow, okay.
First one, I really want to see it because I've been seeing all the commercials, and it looks like it's going to be shenanigans, and I love the actors. And the movie is called The Lost City.
Oh, really?
It stars Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, Daniel Radcliffe, just a bunch of other actors you may or may not have seen before. It looks like Brad Pitt is in this.
Wow,
but he's like lower down, so I'm like, is it going to be another Deadpool?
A surprise there?
Just a little glimpse. But for those who don't know, It's a reclusive author, Loretta Sage, writes about exotic places in her popular adventure novels that features a handsome cover model named Alan. While on a tour promoting her new book with Alan, Loretta gets kidnapped from an eccentric billionaire who hopes she can lead him to the ancient city's lost treasure from her latest story. Determined to prove he can be a hero in real life and not just in the pages of her book, Alan sets off to rescue her.
Oh, yeah, ta-da. I did remember hearing about this. This looks really fun, actually.
It's the one that like, you've seen of Channing, when they get in the water and Channing Tatum is covered in leeches and she has to try to pull them off and
yeah,
they're both freaking out.
Yeah, that's right.
The tomato meter, as of right now, with 62 reviews, is giving it 74%, but the audience score with over 100 verified ratings is giving it 90.
Wow.
So it looks like it's just going to be a fun, silly movie.
I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with this, too.
That's most Daniel Radcliffe movies at this point.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, yeah. I'm curious to see how big of a piece he has, like, of a role.
That's true.
Yeah. Another movie, it's looking a little bit more on the dreary side, because it's an adventure mystery thriller movie. It's called Infinite Storm. It stars Naomi Watts, and it's basically, as an experienced climber, Naomi Watts ascends Mount Washington, and she turns back before she reaches the summit as a huge blizzard approaches, but on her way down, she encounters a lone, stranded man, and then takes it upon herself to get down the mountain before nightfall arrives, and they say, come to the storm. So I feel like it's one of those... it's like it's us against the climate.
Yeah, yeah, definitely that, yeah.
And that's where you get the thriller aspect, like, are we going to live? Are we going to not? That kind of a thing. But that one is getting 67%. It has only got 18 reviews as of now. So if that's your jam, go for it.
Yeah, right.
Not really my jam. The one that I do want to see. Oh, this looks like it's going to be so weird. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yes. What? This one looks absolutely just mind-blowing.
So it stars Michelle Yeoh, I believe is that's how mm-hmm. you say her last name. A lot of amazing actors, including someone that we haven't seen since he was a little kid. Ki Huy Quan, who was, I believe, in the Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, he was Short Round in the Indiana Jones. Wow, he came back.
Yeah.
The Round.
Jamie Lee Curtis and Jenny Slate are also in this. And seriously, just go watch the trailer because I cannot really explain it. I'll read you the little description they have.
Yeah, good luck.
But no, it's... It's supposed to be a big-hearted sci-fi action adventure about an exhausted Chinese-American woman who can't seem to finish her taxes. But it's like one of those multiverse, like she is a different person in every single multiverse and everything kind of gets all mush. It's a drug trip, really. So go see the trailer because I'm not going to explain it anymore. The tomato meter, certified fresh 96%.
The New York Times, just their little blurb is review, it's messy and glorious.
I love it.
Okay. So yeah, I'm down. I want to see this.
I feel like this is going to be one of those movies you're going to want to go see in theaters. And that's what it's looking like. You can watch it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing any streaming service as of yet for it. So it just because of how the action sequences and the trailers look ridiculous.
There's a picture. There's one like just screenshot of her with like a googly eye set up as like where the bindi would be.
Right. And that's like a main thing I've seen in the trailer where she puts it on and there's another movie poster where it's all just googly eyes.
Ooh. That's not going to help your little eyeball issue thing with like the plants and stuff.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not my favorite. Like the googly eyes, seeing a bunch of them together. I have a weird. I don't even like saying phobia. It just like makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I am very excited to see this. Another one. I'm only bringing it up because surprisingly it has a decent review so far. It is a drama horror film. It's called You Are Not My Mother.
You are not my mom.
It's got
86%. I don't know you.
So far on the tomato meter, but it is a horror movie, and it's, of course, a week before Halloween. Cher's bedridden, or Char's bedridden mother has mysteriously gone missing. All that remains is her abandoned car parked in the middle of a field. When Angela returns home to their North Dublin estate, Irish. Sorry, I love the accents. The following evening, without explanation, it's become clear to Char and her grandmother that Rita, that something is amiss. You are not my mother!
Yeah, it is an Irish psychological horror film, so most of that isn't really in your wheelhouse, except for the Irish part.
Yeah, that's the only bit. I did want to talk about a couple of shows. We did, if you didn't know. Halo came out with their show on Paramount Plus this week. It was on Wednesday.
Yep, and if you listened to last week's episode, Gareth had a chance to preview some of the episodes, and he gave a review on that.
So if you guys aren't, you know, not really wanting to go to the theaters yet or just don't feel like it, definitely check that one out. You could always just do the free week or free month that they usually do. It's usually a week, I think.
Yeah, and see how it goes for you.
I know. Just by looking at the trailers, it's giving me very much like Mando vibes.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a dude in armor.
It doesn't
help a whole lot.
See, like, I didn't grow up like playing Halo. I tried once and I got killed by 9-year-old girls.
yeah,
right. They whooped my butt. I couldn't do it. And I mean, I know about Star Wars, and I really enjoyed the story for the Mando. So going into this completely clueless, it's going to be interesting to see how it translates to both people who have played it,
yeah,
and people like me.
But Master Chief is played by someone that you really, really like.
Pablo Schreiber.
Yes, who you may know as Mad Sweeney.
Yes.
In American Gods. Plus a whole bunch of other stuff I didn't even realize.
Oh, yeah. He is a phenomenal actor and one of Vicky's many future ex-husbands. while looking into like what other movies are TV shows are coming out this week, the only one that I saw that is brand new, I'm really curious about. This one is called Tomorrow. Do you guys watch a lot of like K-films or K-shows or anything like that?
I haven't since Squid Game.
Yeah.
Like that was the only one. I only watched the first episode of that. That Korean horror is pretty amazing a lot of the times though.
This one has very much like live action anime vibes to me.
Oh, okay.
Not in the way they filmed it. It's not like cutesy or anything, but just the whole story behind it. It's like a half human, half spirit. He's got a new lease on life after, you know, he's been a struggling job seeker and he like finds himself getting exactly what he wishes for on the condition that he joins a team of grim reapers in convincing the hopeless that life is worth living.
Oh, wow.
So she's you see one of the main chicks. She is a grim reaper who helps you live.
Huh.
Interesting.
That's really cool sounding.
Yeah, she like snaps her finger and she's able to stop time, preventing people from dying.
Wow, that's so neat.
She'll try to save them. It's very, like, the trailer looks pretty cool. It's kind of hard to get information because it is South Korean, but if you're able to watch this on Netflix, definitely check it out. This looks awesome.
It's on Netflix, so yeah, I got the membership even through the price hike, so I'll still be checking this one out. Nice.
Right. And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.